Lord, as we return back into Your presence now, we pray that You would make us listeners and hearers of Your Word. We pray, Lord, that we would rely on Your Holy Spirit to teach us. Allow Your Spirit to mold us and change us and hear the Word You're going to speak this morning. We pray for Your mercy. We pray for Your guidance. And Lord, we pray and worship You that You are our Savior and our Redeemer. Amen. Matt got me a towel. Jerry backed up a row. It's 16 after 11 already. This morning we are going to talk about salvation with a little question next to it. Salvation, are we growing up? Are we growing up in Jesus through our salvation? We're going to be in Psalms. The book of Psalms is broken up into three littler books. And Psalm 1 through Psalm 41 are the first book. So today we're going to look at salvation in Psalms 1 through 41. Not each psalm will be included. It may just be a verse in some. It may be a little passage in others. If you've ever read the Psalms, and I think a lot of the groups had been doing Psalms waiting for the change here. Especially in these first 41 psalms, there's some words that you hear a lot. And if you like any of these words, you might like to read these Psalms. And I wrote down four of these words. The first word would be Jehovah. If you like the word Jehovah, our God, you may like reading these Psalms. If you like the word I, my, or me, you might like reading these Psalms. Because David says a whole bunch of times, I, my, me. And another word he also is also mentioned a lot is enemy, or enemies. And then the fourth word would be the word that we started with, salvation. If you like the word salvation, you might like to read through these Psalms. And as we look at these words, Jehovah, I, my, me, enemy, or salvation. And as we read these, where does it lead us? We're going to take a look at where the Psalms lead us. So we'll see if we can get through these 41 Psalms this morning. We're actually going to give you a break. We're going to start in 9. So there, boom, we cleared up 8 of them quickly. So we're going to start with Psalm 9, verse 1. I will praise Jehovah with all my heart. I will recount all thy marvelous works. Marvelous works. It's not the single work. It's not the single salvation. It's not salvation of the soul. It's His marvelous works. It's continuous. It's ongoing. Do we praise the Lord ongoing for His marvelous works? The things that He's doing in us, or in spite of us, or through us, or around us? Are we remembering to continually thank God for His marvelous works, for His salvation? Down to verse 11. Sing psalms to Jehovah, who dwelleth in Zion. Tell among the people His doings. That's a repeat of the first verse. Tell among the people of His doings, of His works, of His continuing work in us. Do we tell among the people what God's doing for us, what God has done for us? Or do we keep it to ourselves? Do we let it out? Can our enemies see that we have Jesus? And do we express to this dying world the marvelous works of our God? We certainly need to be. We certainly need to be. We need to be a testimony for all to see. Even for our brothers and sisters to see. It's not just for the lost world. It's to encourage us among one another. You know what God did for me this week? Is there a testimony you could share? Tuesday, Susan Boyer was pulling in the parking lot here. Some of y'all have heard this story. Some of y'all were here. And there was a man walking along Huguenot Road. He followed in down the driveway. Susan said, "May I help you?" He said, "Well, I just live a couple of doors away. I'm trying to get home." "Well, where do you live?" He said, "Here in Lakeside." "Here in Lakeside? Did you hear me? This ain't Lakeside." This man had walked away from his home, his retirement community, where he was taken care of. Best we can figure, he walked all night. He got across that river some way. I kind of figure it was the Nickel Bridge. It could have been the Wiley. But he ended up here. The Lord looked after that man all night while he was walking and brought him to a safe haven. That's a testimony for this week, y'all. I use that testimony at work Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It went crazy. I had men that's going, "What? That's impossible. How could he survive out there alone at night in this world?" God protected him, that's how. We need to remember to testify of the things God does in our midst. Through us or despite of us, God's works. That's what we need to remember. Verse 14 of 9. "That I may declare thy praise in the gates of the daughters of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation." Lots of these psalms, David starts in almost panic mode. He says, "Lord, I or my or me." But he does it in a way that glorifies the Lord, not in a way of demands, in a just way, a proper way to step in front of our Heavenly Father and ask something. And then most of the psalms will end with praise, with worship. Is that where we're going? Are we going forward with our salvation? With our testimony? Is it carrying us into worship to our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ? Let's see. Psalm 13. Verses 5 and 6. "As for me, I have confided in thy loving kindness. My heart shall be joyful in thy salvation. I will sing unto Jehovah For he has dealt bountifully with me. What do we think of when we think of bounty? Bountiful. Thanksgiving? Benefit? The bounty? More than we expect. A guy goes out to kill a deer, but he kills a really big deer. That's God dealing bountifully with us. How often do we ask God for something and the return, the response from God is so much greater than what we had thought? Is it because we are not in tune with our Lord? Is it because we are not communing with our Lord that we don't have an understanding of how big bountifully really is? How big is our picture of what God has done for us through His Son? Think how bountifully God has blessed each one of us. Daily, hour, moment by moment. Do we remember that? Do we acknowledge it like David did? When sometimes David will just go, he'll stop, and he'll say, "Thank you, Lord." Do we do that during our day? I think the Lord encourages us to do that. Do we remember how bountifully we are being dealt with every day, moment by moment? Do people see that? Does the world see it? Only Jesus could have dealt so bountifully with us. Only the blood of Christ could redeem us from our fallen state, redeem us back to His Heavenly Father. Thus the thought of the blood of Jesus should send us to worship. Does it grab us? Are we filled with it? When I say the word salvation, did any of y'all's hearts go? Did they do that when I said the word? You remember when you first got saved? You can't even sleep. Where is it today? Now we're going to move to Psalm 18. I skipped 5. They're going. 18 verse 2. I didn't skip 5. Those words weren't in that. Jehovah is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I will trust, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I wrote down beside that, this is a statement of fact, if we know the Lord. This is a statement in the Word of fact that the Holy Spirit gave David. Do we live in the facts that are told to us in the Bible? Or do we live by what our brain has gotten out of the Bible? From our own view, from the world's view. The world takes a lot of ideas out of this wonderful book that has no error and makes it a saying for the world. Do we do that or do we rely on the facts? Do we read the book when we're reading it, when we're praying on it, when we meditate about it? Are we looking at it as truth? Unerring Word of God? It is. I'm going to read that again. Think of it as fact. Jehovah is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I will trust, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. Thank God we can say that. Does that lead us to worship? Where are these scriptures taking us to worship? We can hope so. Verse 46 of that same Psalm. You're going to hear a lot of repeating here. That's the point of this. Take the first 41 and see how many times things are repeated. What did I say, verse 46? Jehovah liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. David had a lot of things going on. He was king. He was way busier than we are. Think of how as busy as you can possibly get. And then think, what if I was king? How busy would I be? But David stops and acknowledges God the Father, Jehovah, as his strength and his salvation. How do you think he got through? How do we get through? I look at the people in the world and go, how are you making it? How are you doing it? Marriages that stay together in the world just completely baffle me. Thank God. All it is the hand of God still having reign over this planet. Do we realize and understand the power that's there in this salvation? The power to help a king with a nation. The power to help our president make decisions about this nation, about other nations, about the world, in fact. Thank God our president believes. Because where would we be if he was thinking up things like the world does? The God of my salvation. Verse 49. Therefore, anytime you get the word therefore, he's been talking to us and talking to us and talking to us, and then you get down to therefore, what does the book say do? I will give thanks to thee among the nations, and will sing psalms to thy name. We get through all of the asking. All of the God answering. All of the God supplying the need. And then where do we go? Pow! On to the next thing? Or do we stop for a moment and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. For even a moment. A fresh breath in your work day. A fresh breath in your looking after your children. That freshness. That's the life of Christ. Are we letting it work in us to bring us to worship? Daily moment. Continually. That's another word that's in here a few times. It didn't make the list, but I really like it. Continually. Is this our response to our Lord? When do we respond? Whether we respond good or bad, when do we respond? How do we respond? It can be a bad response. God will forgive us for that. But at least we're responding. Don't even think a child. Think a grown-up that's just not getting it. At least a response from that person is better than nothing. God would rather us respond and maybe make a mistake. God will forgive us. But He wants us to respond. He wants us to respond in a worthy manner, certainly. But a response to our Lord is better than nothing. Let's remember, good or bad, we need to be responding to the Lord moving in us. How often do we do that? Always do we respond or sometimes? Every once in a while, if it was like a really big thing, Lord, I'm caught in a bear trap, please stop the bleeding. Hallelujah, you did it. But if I ran a red light, I'm gone. Do we say, Lord, forgive me for doing that? I need to stop when that light turns yellow. Well, that's a little thing. When we're driving along the highway, that guy's flying. I'm running 75 and he passed me. I must be okay. The speed limit is 60 or 55. How do we respond? Does God ever quicken us? Does God quicken you when you're doing something that's wrong? Something as minute as lust in our heart for something, or as big as breaking a law? a law of the land, which we are held to because the Word says we're accountable for the law of the land and to the rulers that have been set up by God. I don't think God cares about the little or big of it. I think He cares about our response to it if He quickens us. If the Holy Spirit quickens us and says, that's wrong, or do we listen? Everybody else is doing it. There are brothers here that have a reputation. Man, they fly down the highway. You get in a car with me, I don't care if we're going to New Mexico. I'm going to run the speed limit. That's just the way I am. Because it's the sign says so. Now, I don't think it's a fear of being arrested or paying a... when I was younger, it was a fear of my father killing me for doing something wrong that, you know, it's pretty cut and dry. The speed limit is this. That's what you drive. That's it. It wasn't a matter of Pop killing me. It's a matter of Pop holding me responsible for having a driver's license to have a car to drive on a road that there are people all around you. My father is a professional driver. Truck driver, big trucks, bus driver. He had probably a more acute awareness of the tragedies that could occur, but so does our Heavenly Father. He has an acute awareness of what could happen if we're stepping out of line. If we're hearing the Holy Spirit quicken us, chasing us, and we don't respond. I guarantee you, those lights come on behind you, you respond. You had that happen? I mean, your legs just go... Pfft. You start breathing. Driver's license. VN number. Oh, boy. What did I do? I had to stop like that in Highland Springs. This is when my wife and I were married. I was just driving through Highland Springs. Well, obviously I wasn't running over speed limit because I don't do that. But I still got these flashing lights behind me. Sir, you're... County sticker is about 4 months out of date. He's here. My wife's here. I say, sir, it's laying on the counter at home. I blame my wife. He said, I'll tell you what you do. You're going to have to pay this. If you don't want to have to pay this, just go over. Go to court. Take your day in court and tell the man who was laying on the counter at home. He'd probably just say, okay, fine. Did you put it on? Yeah, I did. All right, then don't worry about it. I didn't bother. I paid the $50. The officer gave me an out, a complete freedom. That's what we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. A complete out. A complete redemption. We're free of it. Do we live in that freedom? Or do we bang along till we get here to worship? Sometimes you come in, boy, worship, it was really dragging this week. Man, it drug. Others may say, man, that was the best worship we've had in months. I would say it probably has something to do with how much you worship during the week. We ask the Lord, let us forget everything about the week and come in and worship You. Thank God we can do that and pray that, and He answers that prayer. But if we're worshiping during the week, I can't guarantee it, but I bet worship will be good for each and every one. Not one left out. Not a one. Do we take our salvation for granted? Every day. Lord, let us not do that. Psalm 19, 7 through 10. The law of Jehovah is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of Jehovah is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of Jehovah are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Jehovah is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Jehovah is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Jehovah are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more precious than gold, yea, than much fine gold, and sweeter than the honey dropping from the honeycomb. I think it said true in there twice. Our God is true. He speaks to us truthfully. The devil is the deceiver. He is our enemy. That's not our God. If you ever get a feeling that God is trying to trick you into doing something, that's not the Lord. If you ever feel like you're being tricked, that's the enemy. Be aware. I'm not aware. He tried to trick me, Lord, but I didn't sin. The Lord didn't sin. Good grief. The Lord didn't sin. He's not leaving traps. I think of guys, you know, booby traps. I'm going to put one over here. When Kenny moves his foot, Linda, that's the enemy. That's not the Lord. Don't let us not get confused by the Lord chastening us and encouraging us and wanting us to grow up with the enemy trying to trick us to keep exactly what God wants to happen to happen. Let us not be deceived. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Jehovah, my rock and my redeemer. Let it be acceptable. Let it be acceptable. What we think, what we say, what we wish for, what we desire. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Well, it's not in thy sight when you can see me, Lord, because we're always in his sight. We're always there. He's always watching us. Always watching us. When I asked my parents if they could come this week, I thought, but I was going to tell a story. Man, I don't know if I can tell that story. Lord, just help me. I'm going to tell this story. And the point is going to be we are always in God's sight. No matter where we want to go or what we want to do. I'm in God's sight, except I'm in a all this traffic's running 90 miles an hour. But you're still in God's sight. The circumstance which you are in does not allow you to make exceptions on what God desires from us. And forgive me for saying you. Me. Doesn't allow me to make a decision and rationalize out any decision we make based on that God doesn't see us because everybody's doing it. I don't know, I guess I was 10 or 11 years old. I was in my secret agent James Bond phase in my life. James Bond. I'm in my room by myself. Mom and Daddy aren't home. My little sister's in the den watching TV or something. I'm in my room escaping from prison. I'm going to escape. I was fairly imaginative. I'm going to escape and nobody's going to see or know this. I've got a little secrets box. Not the secrets box like some of you young folks. They used to be metal. Fairly heavy metal. That door would go and shut real good. And I think I had like 3 firecrackers. I don't know where I got them. I still don't know where I got them. But I had decided that I could compress that energy in that secrets box with a pillow on top of it, with my butt on top of that, then it would explode and nobody would hear. And it would explode through the floor into the basement where I could crawl out and come in the side door and scare my sister to death. Well, don't worry. I never had to leave the building to scare my sister to death. So I get, I think it was like 3 firecrackers, and I roll them up in a tight little one wick. That's going to stay. That's going to stay. I got it. Put it in that box. Close that box tight. All right, all right, all right. Put the box down. All right, now, if I light this, I got to get the pillow on top, get my butt on top. All right. I light it. Put that secrets. And always remember, I'm trying to deceive, I'm trying to trick whoever's pursuing me, my adversary. But the whole time, God is watching and protecting and keeping His hand on me to keep me from hurting myself or blowing my parents' house up. He protects you, even when we're messing up. And when we're trying trickery, He protects us. Lit it. I'm down on the ground. I got the pellet here. My butt, I can boom, jump it. Lit it. Close the box. Set on it. Boom! I'm up off the floor. All I can hear is, bah, bah. I kick the pellet. No hole in the floor. Oh, what have I done? Then my little sister throws open the door. What did she do? What happened? I don't know. Did you hear how loud that was? I mean, it rang for a long time. I mean, it didn't even put a mark on the floor. It destroyed that little metal scratch box. So if you ever need to escape from a secret box, 3 firecrackers will do it. We can't trick our Heavenly Father or our Lord. We can't try to deceive Him. If we're playing those games, we're working right into our adversary's game. Boom. Did you hear how loud that was? Think how loud it is in heaven when one of God's children slips off the path. How loud is the mourning over a brother or sister falling away? How loud is the hurt and cries of our Lord praying back to His Father, grab that sheep up before he gets too far away. That was loud. Forgive me, I've lost my place. Psalm 20. 5-9. And I put a little note here, read this. 25-9. We will triumph in thy salvation. In the name of our God will we set up our banners. Jehovah, fulfill all thy partitions. Now know that I, that Jehovah, strengthen his anointed, and he answereth him from the heavens of his holiness with the saving strength of his right hand. Some make mentions of chariots and the sum of horses, but we of the name of Jehovah our God. They are bowed down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save Jehovah. Let the King answer us in the day we call. Don't ever think that God hadn't answered us. Don't ever think that He hadn't heard us, our cries. He's heard us. The answer may not be what we want. The answer may take place in the heavens and we won't know about it. How much do we trust? How much do we have faith that God is taking care of? How much do we say, well, Lord, I didn't see it, but teach me to have faith that in your economy you have gained ground. You have taken care of it. He's taken care of all of it. We go back to salvation. Thank God. Thank God. verse 5 of that little passage. I have a note here. Jehovah, do thy will. Do thy will. Fulfill thy partitions. What does God want? Do we want God to do His will, really? I want to learn how to want God to do His will in my life, in our lives. Do we want that? Do we long for it? He longs to do it. Do we long for it? For His will, His true will to be done in our lives? Or what we have decided is His will? Or do we want Him to do His will in our lives? 20 verse 6. With the saving strength of His right hand. No one stronger. No one stronger than our Lord Jesus at the right hand of the Father. The strength is there for us. It's a provision. It's part of salvation. Are we living in that daily, moment by moment? Or are we relying on that strength to carry us through? Or are we relying on ourselves and our own strength to carry us through? Number 7. Some make mention of chariots and some of horses, but we of the name of Jehovah our God. I thought of what the world would do, throw things at you. I've got more chariots than you have. I've got more horses than you have, so I can defeat you. Well, all their things versus our Lord, what happens? The Lord wins. All the things that the world has, all the things the world can throw at us, all the snares and traps the enemy will set, we have the strength of our Lord. 8. They are bowed down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Their things fail. The things we try to put in place of our Lord fail. But the thing that's important is that Jesus is always the same. No matter how much we're forgetting to put Him in our life instead of the things, the wants. Now, it's fine to desire to grow up in Christ. Thank God. That's a good desire. But do we put stipulations on growing up in Christ? I think of John the Baptist. What did he put ahead of Jesus in his life? I can't think of anything. What did it get him? Everybody knows the story of what happened to John the Baptist. A maiden says to the ruler, I want his head on a platter. And because the king didn't want to be embarrassed in front of his host of people, he said, go get the head of John the Baptist and bring it to me. John the Baptist didn't want anything except the Lord. It's not that it's that got him his head cut off. The world's response is so completely backward to the response we have from Jesus every time we need. Let's not be like the ruler and ask for things that we really don't want to ask for. And then we're sorry that we did. I got it. I still don't have that peace. Certainly the ruler didn't get any peace out of having John's head. Nor did the woman's mother who wanted it done. Where do we get our peace? We can't get it from this world. Oh, Lord. Psalm 21, 1. The king shall joy in the strength of Jehovah, in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Rejoice is worship. How greatly will we worship? 21:6. For thou hast made him to be blessings forever, thou hast filled him with joy by thy countenance. Can the world see our joy by our countenance? What countenance do we have based on what God has done for us? What joy do we have based on what God has done for us? 24:3. Who shall ascend to the mount of Jehovah, and who shall stand in the holy place? It's a question. There's two questions. Who shall ascend unto the mount of Jehovah? Question. And who shall stand in his holy place? Question. 24:4, there's an answer. He that hath blameless hands and a pure heart, who lifteth not up his soul unto vanity, nor sweareth deceitfully. I can say it better than I can read it. Deceitfully. Response, verse 5. He shall receive blessing from Jehovah and righteousness from the God of his salvation. There we go. Where are we going to stand? How are we going to be on that holy place? We will be there because of the blood of Christ. Because Jesus died for us. We will be there. But there's a qualifier. He that is who has blameless hands and a pure heart, who lifteth not up his soul into vanity, nor sweareth deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from Jehovah and righteousness from the God of his salvation. It's how we walk. How do we walk? How do we react? What is our response? Do we remember God's salvation? Do we remember it? Make me to know thy ways, O Jehovah, teach me thy paths. Anybody ever asked God to do that? Anybody said, Lord, make me to know thy ways, teach me thy paths. He desires to. You may need a four-wheel drive vehicle. Skateboard may not get you through it. The Word in us, the living Word in us will help us get through. Not knowledge of the Word. I know where, what was John's? I don't have my little book, so I don't have my little tab for Haggai. No, I got this in the other book. I haven't lost it. But I can't find it right now in this one. Not just knowledge of the Word, but a living expression of the Word in us. That's what's going to get us through. That's what's going to let us be presented with blameless hands and a pure heart because of what Christ has done and what He desires to do in us daily. Can I go next week? Can I share next week? I'm not going to get through this. I mean, it's noon now. Let me see if we can find a stopping point. I got another story I've got to tell. Teach me, Lord. Psalm 25:4. Teach me, Lord. Make me to know thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Teach me. let us teach. What do you think of? I think, am I willing to be a student to be taught? Or do I want to be treated like an adult who already knows the stuff? I think teach me means that we need to be willing to go back to nothing to learn. 25:5. Make me to walk in the truth and teach me, for thou art the Lord of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Are we willing to wait for an answer? On thee will I wait. Teach me, Lord. Well, why aren't you teaching me? Are we willing to wait for the Lord to do the teaching? To pick His time when the Holy Spirit knows we're ready to be taught? Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to wait and listen? Be quiet? Are we willing to be quiet and just listen? My eyes are ever toward Jehovah, for He will bring my feet out of the net. Have you ever been caught in a net? Your feet, your hand. Just a little net. You're trying to get a fish out of a net, and suddenly your hand is more caught than the fish. I got the fish, but my hand. Forgive me. My eyes are ever toward Jehovah, for He will bring my feet out of the net. Where are our eyes? What are we focused on? Where do we dwell? Where do our souls dwell? If we keep our eyes toward Jehovah, if we dwell with our Lord, He will bring us out of the net. I'm in trouble now. Lord, are we willing to wait? It's only a foot. The foot's real important because it's part of the body. Just like we're so important to one another as part of the body. If we look, keep our eyes on the Lord, and we see a brother or sister with something caught in the net, how do we respond? Are we willing to dive in and risk ourselves to help that brother or sister through this very trying time or whatever it may be? Are we willing to jump in, keep our eyes on Jehovah, and work on the net? Teach us to do that, Lord. Teach us to do that. We'll stop there. We'll start again with Psalm 27, if the Lord tarries and I don't die. We'll try to do that next week, maybe. I will share this one story. Lots of my stories from outdoor life or Boy Scouts. And we were camping one time. In Boy Scouts, we always had a church service on Sunday morning. Nobody ever said anything. Basically, what it was the adult men sang Amazing Grace, the first verse, and that was church. Thank God there was that. Thank God that even on those camping trips, there was a bit that the Lord... All the guys who were in my scout troop when I was little, no matter where they are now, they heard the word. They may have missed it. Thank God I didn't. I missed most of it, but I got one or two. Amazing Grace. That's it. But on the night before, on Saturday night, we always had a campfire. And we would sing songs. And we learned a song on this camping trip on Saturday night called My Hat It Has Three Corners. I'm choking on my water. My hat, it has three corners. the colonist triangle hat. Go to Williamsburg, you can either buy one of those black hats or a pipe with a long stem. Well, this was about the hat. My hat, it has three corners. Three corners had my hat. If it had not three corners, it would not be my hat. That's the song. It's stupid as it can be. But what is going through your head? My hat, it has three corners. It'll do it. Three corners has my hat. Well, that morning, we're having church service. Everybody's looking around. Where are Tyler, Stuart, and Richard? Nowhere to be found in camp, nowhere, not there for breakfast. They are gone. They were mischievous. They ran off a lot. Nobody panics. Stuart, Tyler, and Richard. We're having our service, and there's usually a prayer sometime in the service. And then the adults sing Amazing Grace. Then there's the closing prayer. So sometime, not when the men were singing, there was a prayer, everything quiet. Lord, we thank you for about that time you hear this voice from way off across. We were on a lake, so the sound travels across the lake. Everybody is very quiet. Lord, we thank you for my hat, it has three corners. Catch that darn cow! Now we know where Richard and Stuart are. They're over there trying to ride a cow. And we're trying to have worship. What do we do when we come to worship? Are we here to worship and be quiet and be before the Lord? Or is our mind out trying to ride a cow because that's the next thing at hand? That's the point of the story. They should have been there for the worship service. They should have been entering in, maybe singing Amazing Grace, but they ran off because they knew there were cows that needed to be ridden. My hat, it has three corners. Catch that darn cow. Lord, we pray that you would catch us. Lord, we pray that you would capture us and never let us go. We pray, Lord, that you would comfort us in our feeble attempts to follow you in our own strength. Lord, that we would remember that you are our strength. You are the reason that we have joy in our hearts and peace in our souls. Let us not forget daily, Lord, that in you we have an unchanging, righteous, loving Father. Amen.